There's something primal that stirs when you see mountains on the horizon after months of city living. Your shoulders drop, your breath deepens, you feel something ancient wake up inside you. Gerald G. May felt this pull his entire life, a magnetic draw toward wilderness that went beyond recreation or escape. Written while facing terminal cancer, this book isn't about hiking tips or survival skills. It's about what happens when we finally stop running from ourselves and let nature strip away everything we've built up as protection. May discovered that wilderness doesn't just offer beauty or solitude, it offers a mirror that shows us who we really are beneath the roles, anxieties, and endless mental chatter. What makes this journey remarkable isn't just where it takes us, but what it reveals, that our disconnection from nature is inseparable from our disconnection from ourselves. Picture arriving at a campsite after hours of driving, mind buzzing with plans. Then something extraordinary happens. You can't move. Not from fear, but because an invisible gentleness takes hold, whispering, "Be still now." This is what May calls the power of the slowing, that mysterious force that halts our compulsive doing and drops us into pure presence. When yellow jackets land on his bare arms, May's instinct screams to swat them away. Instead, the slowing guides him to simply watch, to feel their tiny feet on his skin without reacting. He sets up his tent by sensing where it belongs rather than thinking through each step. This isn't meditation technique, it's what happens when nature's rhythm overrides our mental machinery, revealing that our constant strategizing isn't strength, but armor against actually experiencing life. Lying in his tent, May hears something large moving outside. His body knows immediately, bear. He can't run, fight, or make a noise. All he can do is be utterly present with his fear. In that crystalline awareness, something profound occurs. He feels grateful, during the terror itself, for being so intensely alive. This echoes a deer he'd witnessed years before, frozen in awareness, every sense heightened, completely itself in the face of danger. May realizes his entire career focused on helping people manage emotions rather than understand their profound purpose, to wake us up to being alive. Fear, when we can't escape it, becomes a doorway. It strips away every distraction and leaves us standing naked in the present moment, sensing our own existence with startling clarity. The bear didn't threaten May's life, it gave him back his life. Exhausted after his bear encounter, May tries to nap, but the cicada's noise irritates him. Then he realizes every irritation stems from reality interfering with our desires. The cicadas don't care about his schedule. They're living in cicada time, singing their brief moment after years underground. When he stops resisting and listens, he discovers they're conversing. Two groups call and respond in patterns. He drums along, joining their rhythm. As night deepens, one cicada remains in each tree. These two slowly descend, crawl toward each other, meet between the trees, sing briefly together, then fall silent. May watches this mysterious joining, deeply moved. Connection, harmony, the end of separateness. Wild animals live in open, unfocused awareness that domesticated creatures have lost. We've trained ourselves out of this natural awareness, teaching children to concentrate on single tasks while excluding everything else. We miss the sky while shopping, birdsong while working, our own precious aliveness. The cicadas taught May that joining, with nature, with each other, with the present moment, is what we're made for. A Korean Zen master told May, "The tongue has no bone. Spring comes every year." It took 15 years to understand. Nature doesn't move through time, it simply exists in rhythms and cycles. Watching a solitary tree through seasons, May realizes his thoughts about resurrection or hope are just commentary. Beneath those thoughts lies something deeper, the being of the tree and him in one complete experience, where all words stop. The seasons exist because Earth's axis is tilted, an imperfection creating change. Without it, every day would be identical. In his canoe before dawn, morning mists rise from warmer water. Summer's sun becomes intimate, no longer distant, but part of his own body. Autumn reveals leaves' true colors, reds, oranges, yellows, hidden beneath chlorophyll. What looks like dying is actually revealing, a gentle disrobing into beauty. Nature teaches that everything changes, everything returns, and everything is exactly as it should be. Spring comes every year, whether we understand it or not. At Smith's Inlet, May encountered wilderness's shadow through three moments: a tortured box turtle carved open and stuffed with cigarette butts, a massive carp whose jaw he accidentally broke while removing a hook, and a swan methodically drowning a small duck, pushing it underwater with neither hostility nor mercy, just patient persistence. The turtle became a sacred altar that brought back Vietnam memories. We want nature to be peaceful and healing, but that's our fantasy. Nature is also predation, suffering, death. The swan wasn't evil, it was simply being a swan. When May finally found a perfect, unbroken turtle shell years later, something healed. Not because the violence disappeared, but because he could hold both the broken and the whole together. Real connection means accepting all of nature, the magnificent and the terrible. The wilderness doesn't hide its shadow, neither should we. In a dream, May becomes a mountain lion, not thinking about being one, but simply being. This is wilderness's deepest teaching. Wild creatures don't pretend or question their worth. They are completely, impeccably themselves. A stag stands in perfect stillness, senses heightened, experiencing complete presence. This is what we've lost, connection to our own nature. We've fractured ourselves, broken from the world, from each other, from who we are. The self-judgment, the struggle for control, the longing for connection while feeling perpetually separate, this constant pain feels so normal we don't notice it. We've become stewards of the environment, forever apart from what we care for. But we are nature. Our cities, our problems, all of it is nature too. Healing happens through touch, physical contact with earth, sky, growing things, and through moments when our minds stop and our senses open. When May's cancer arrived, the power of the slowing transformed into great gratitude, an unqualified joy that persisted through surgery and brutal chemotherapy. He realized the Creator loves all things into being with cosmic delight, and that love is the pervading passion drawing diversity into oneness. Wilderness taught him what the source constantly yearns for, that we know we are loved, that we are part of the endless creation of love, and that we join nature's joyous creativity. You don't need to climb mountains to find this. You need only to stop, to feel, to let the slowing take hold. The wilderness isn't just out there, it's in you, waiting to be remembered.